members of the public may come forward and speak in regards of the matter that's being discussed at that point. When you do come forward, please give your name and address and speak. The first one is an ordinance establishing the annual operating budget for fiscal year 2014, and it's Mr. Lawson will be giving the highlights of this.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Mr. President, members of Council, as you know, on May 21st, the Budget Committee presented the fiscal year 2014 proposed budget. I want to personally thank the finance director appointee, and the budget and cost manager for their countless hours of work to produce another responsible and balanced budget. We also greatly appreciate the efforts of the directors and their staff in assisting us in developing this budget. Quite literally, the budget represents hundreds of hours of work on the parts of these individuals. For the 24th year in a row, the county will continue to not raise taxes or increase fees, thanks in part to the council's leadership and fiscal responsibility and a conservative budget philosophy. With only a limited 3% projected growth in revenues, the fiscal year 2014 budget represents a challenge. And so we are recommending only a modest 2% increase in operations, bringing the total general fund to $50.13 million. Additional highlights for the proposed budget include $3.3 million for local fire and ambulance services, $575,000 for local law enforcement, $1.9 million for 44 additional Delaware State Troopers right here in Sussex County, $13.1 million for the county paramedics program, $4.5 million for total library funding, a 2% one-time bonus for staff, a reduction in county staff by 5.5 positions compared to last year's budget, and a pension contribution of $5 million. In summary, the Budget Committee is recommending the fiscal year 2014 budget as follows: $50.13 million for the general fund, $9.87 million for the capital projects governmental fund, $33.61 million for the enterprise fund, $17.91 million for the capital projects enterprise fund, and $6.18 million for the fiduciary funds. That concludes our brief presentation. If you have any questions of us or the committee, we'd be happy to answer any questions at this point.
Questions of council?
Well, when you look at the cost of the paramedics and police, I kind of think of some of the things that are coming up for us where there's no realty transfer tax with some of these applications that are coming in. Have you considered that in the budget? You thought about that? Are we talking about, in other words, we have mobile home parks that pay no realty transfer, but we have RV parks, pay no realty transfer tax. That's a very important part of our income. So I'm wondering if that had been, you had considered that in the budget. No?
Do you want to take a stab at that, Mrs. Jennings? I know that we... I think I understand your question. Certainly,
how we're going to pay for it.
Well, certainly, we do rely a lot on the realty transfer tax every year, and we.
Are there other sources of income that would help us there? That do help us there?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The way we're seeing realty transfer tax, we're still expecting $18 million, mm-hmm. but we only put the $16 million in the budget.
Right.
So we're basing off of the trends that we have been seeing, but still being conservative with what we're putting in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
There's other things that we're seeing increases with building permits and things like that. They're 10% increases mm-hmm. in those cases.
Okay.
So we are still budgeting in line with last year's number, even though we are seeing everything starting to pick up.
Mm-hmm. Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Now, we do get a realty transfer tax, don't we, from a manufactured home that gets sold, or is that called something else now?
That's an
automatic. It does go to, don't they go, they have settlements and stuff.
The transfer tax on if it's a mobile home, it actually goes to the state of Delaware, and it is a tax to Division of Motor Vehicle.
Okay.
There is, if it was a Class C, then it's treated as realty.
And we do get one there,
we get,
right?
On that case. But that's only on those that are on owned land as opposed to leased land, and they are Class C.
Okay. And I mean, that is...
Not on leased land.
I don't believe that you can have a Class C on the
leased land.
Yeah,
I think
so
you're
that
right.
The parks are not having to pay RTT.
Well, I think this discussion we've probably had previously at different times, and it's something I think that most of us agree there's need to be some research done on how we address these places that are RV campgrounds or whatever, so that those people are paying their fair share of paramedic service and fire service and police that they utilize, right, even though they visit here on weekends or whatever and go back somewhere else. So mm-hmm. I think that's a discussion for maybe this year. We can do that and deal with that and see if there's some answers to how we can address those issues.
We'd certainly be willing to take a look at that and bring back recommendations to the council.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Any more questions of council?
If there are no other questions, Councilor, is there anyone from the public that would like to address this issue? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Carol Summers. I'm from Lewis, and I'm representing the League of Women Voters for Sussex County. We agree with the statement made by County Administrator Todd Lawson in his introductory remarks about the proposed budget when he said Sussex County is at a crossroads and faces the difficult task of preserving the many attributes that make our county such a wonderful place to live while attempting to stimulate the local economy and spur economic growth. At the same time, we must look to the future to prepare for growth and increased demand on county services. The proposed budget purports to be conservative, and it is fiscally conservative, but not economically conservative. Revenue continues to rely heavily on the realty transfer tax, with 32% of funding coming from that source. Continued dependence on the realty transfer tax without developing other revenue sources is short-sighted. Economic resources other than agriculture, construction, and tourism need to be developed. Economic development, along with airport and securities, is given only 2% of the budgeted expenditures, the same as the constable and dog control. A reported highlight of the budget is the status quo of the tax rate. There has been no tax rate in 24 years, nor have we had a property reassessment since 1974. In addition to searching for other revenue sources, property reassessment or a modest tax adjustment is feasible without burdening taxpayers or diminishing their quality of life, but indeed promoting a livable, sustainable county. The need for an experienced, certified county planner to help address the challenges ahead is essential. The planning and zoning positions listed in the budget do not indicate an intention to fill this position. We believe that those who make their homes in Sussex County deserve a budget that will prepare us for the demands ahead. Agriculture, construction, and tourism are our economic drivers. Unless we plan and develop new revenue sources, we're headed towards a future where all the farms are sold and tourists and retirees won't come to Sussex County because we've destroyed the very things that attract them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak, Mr. Kramer?
My name is Dan Kramer, 8041 Scott Store Road. Well, I guess what? We must have some really lousy employees. They don't do no work, they don't deserve nothing, and you treat them like dogs. But yet, don't tell me that you ain't got the money, because you're setting aside millions of dollars, but yet you can't give them a raise. Oh, we're going to give them a bonus. Big whoop-de-doo. What does that bonus do? Absolutely nothing. In fact, it's detrimental to the employees. How so? Well, number one, if you give them a bonus, it won't show up in their wage scale. So guess what? when they want to retire, it's going to take away from their Social Security, number one, and also it's going to end up reflecting in their pensions. So then, you want to talk about tax raises? You don't need a tax raise. In fact, we got so much money, you choke a cow on it. And I want to know, did the committee do what the county code says and bring, instead of, we're also not going to anymore have comp time for overtime. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. Whoever came up with those stupid ideas ought to be fired and rehired with less pay. And then you might get someplace. But I'm going to tell you something. Did they follow the law, what it says in the county code, and have to bring that up in front of the personnel board? I don't think so.
Is there anyone else that would like to address this issue? Anyone else like to speak concerning this proposed ordinance? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter, but we still have comments from the council.
Yeah, I just want to ask a question. Sure, Mr. Trigger something. We do rely a lot on the transfer tax, Gina, and I'm just wondering, has anybody maybe calculated or tried to figure out what would be the tipping point on when the transfer tax has got to what, you know, a certain level that we would have to then look to these new revenue sources in a serious way? Because it seems right now we're still, you know, in a safe area with the collection of the realty transfer taxes, along with our current sources of revenue. But what would the point be? Do you have, you know what I'm trying to say? We're at 18 million, did you say?
We're at 18, but we put 16, so we're budgeting 80 some percent.
But we got about 18 million in transfer taxes.
But what we're expecting,
we're projecting. Okay. It would 10, 7, or, I mean, what is the number probably if the economy got real bad? Would anybody know that?
Yeah,
I mean,
13?
Yeah. I mean, we were okay when we were bringing in 13, mm-hmm. So 18 is good, but we don't have anything. Our budget is tight.
Well, I know it's tight, so but we've been able to avoid. This council has been able to avoid tax increases, and they bring up reappraisals and all this stuff. And I think there's a certain amount of pride amongst this council that we've been able to operate this county government without tax increases. I mean, there's very few places you can go in this country that, you know, have such a low tax base. But I was just wondering, what would be the point, because we do rely on these transfer taxes, at what number do we all of a sudden get, we're in a jam? So we know, kind of maybe know, would it be?
Right, and I don't throw in a number out there because
I didn't know if anybody'd ever considered it.
We need to look at it, but we also look at other things that we're starting having people contribute to the pension. Things like that. So we don't rely on realty transfer tax as much. So we're making cost cuts so that we can stop relying on realty as much as we have been.
Mm-hmm. And we're still making contributions to the land trust. Is that correct?
The way the ordinance writes is if we have a surplus in the budget, we have the authority to contribute to the land trust.
The authority.
So there is no contribution to the land trust in this budget as proposed.
Because?
Well, we don't know if we're going to have a surplus at this point. Once there is a surplus, then we can make that determination later on.
Okay, but nothing's changed in that wording, has it?
No.
Okay. So.
No, the ordinance has not changed.
All right.
And we do have money set aside for the land trust right now, currently.
We have previous dollar set aside for both the land trust and the county's open space program.
And approximately how much would that be?
Both accounts combined north of $1 million.
Correct.
And then the land trust themselves, which is money that the council has previously contributed to, is more than that, mm-hmm. several million dollars.
But that's being spoken for soon, I think.
Any if the land trust from council? Mr. Phillips.
It was mentioned during the budget review, and I don't believe that it was appropriate at that time to make changes, but at this time, I would like to bring up the bonus, the 2% bonus, and how I believe it is treating our lower-waged employees unfairly and inequitably. Somebody might be making, say, $20,000 is going to get a $600 bonus, but somebody making, say, $80,000 is going to get a $1,600 bonus. And these bonuses, I think, from my perspective, are going to help defray some of the expenses that may have gone up this year for those employees. It's granted it's not called a cost of living adjustment, but it does provide extra funds for things like increased fuel costs or increased food costs. And I think, to be fair, we should give all the employees the same amount of money. So with that said, I guess I would make a motion.
Well, I think we have to close the public record and public comment now.
Yes.
And we can have motions. No, that right?
Yes.
Okay. We'll close public comment and the public record, unless there are any questions for council. Mr. Cole?
We did have your suggestion, Mike. What was where we were? Where, is there any effort to look at these salaries? And I believe there was a discussion that there was some awkwardness in what way we were looking at it. We're not, you know, anyway. It was there something I remember Mike had suggested?
There was conversation about that sometime what we probably need to do is take a general view of all.
Yes.
Employees and their
yes.
Compensation package, which includes everything, not just salaries, but
right, and
pensions and whatever else it is. But that was a...
Yes, and based on the comments that we heard at the budget introduction back in May, the committee got back together and analyzed the discussion about the bonus and the COLA and the benefits and the entire package that we're putting through this year. The committee's recommendation remains a 2% bonus based on your base salary. And if you care to hear why, we can address that. One of the more interesting points of that is if you do take a look at the higher earners, they're also in a higher tax bracket. So if we did the numbers and ran the 2% bonus across the roughly 500 employees, actually, the higher earners of the county's employees take home less after the bonus and taxes are taken out. So there's roughly 60 employees at the top of that scale that will take home less than the lower scaled employees on the county scale. So we felt it was premature to look at that right now. We would like and ask the council to give us some time and come back next budget, preferably, to give recommendations.
Sure. Okay.
So the only thing is we've heard some comments about bonuses versus COLAs and all this stuff, and since this is probably the only real job I've ever had, I'm just, you know, I'm not that familiar with maybe how the, you know, it's done out there in the real world, and I'm just still a little confused about the benefits of a bonus versus the COLAs or other ways to do this. So I just... I know we've got 2% set aside for the employees, which is, I think, is admirable. And I'm just, I don't know how we should be doing it. I've heard from a couple of employees, mid-level employees. You know, I know how the top end feels, but I also have heard from low end, but primarily some mid-level guys. And they had some concerns. And, again, I didn't have really good answers for them. And... I just would like to see if we could just make sure we set the 2% aside and then try to address it. I know what Vance is trying to do, and I think he's got good points, and I know the recommendations which you guys have, you know, put a lot of work into. I don't know, is there any consensus maybe that we could just set aside the 2% and then try to figure it out? And we may be to get a salary consultant to look at the structure of how this is done. But again, I don't feel comfortable
George.
Yeah.
Mr. Lawson here.
Mr. Wilson
has said to us that he hasn't got finished with this, and I think we ought to give him time to work on it another week or two. Where's the fire at this morning? That's all we need to say.
Well, my question would be: could we pass the budget then, Sam, and then deal with the 2% in a week or two or something like that? Right?
Sure. I mean, after all, he's our administrator. If he said he doesn't have enough time, let's give him some time.
But that just go on.
Okay. So let me ask: is it then? Is it how would we address today's
I think he knows. I already think, because he's heard enough from all of us what he needs to do. And I've already, I asked him, I made a request a couple weeks for him to do something for me, look into about paying this.
Does it say, let me ask you this, Sam. So in the budget right now, does it specify a certain way to do something with that 2%?
He's going to try to come away different ways, which he thinks is best. And I think that we should leave it up to him.
Well, I think Mr. Lawson and the committee made a recommendation.
Okay, I know
that.
That
was a 2% bonus. That was their recommendation. So,
yeah. Correct.
But Mr. Lawson and Mr. Wilson's question of...
Our recommendation remains a 2% bonus based on base salary of an employee to be administered at the passage of this budget. The budget, the way it's drafted, doesn't go all the way down into details of how we spend every dollar. It's just not the way the ordinance is written. What we present to you is the way we administer the budget throughout the fiscal year. Our recommendation, again, is a 2% bonus based on base salary across the employee's spectrum, and that would be paid out in July.
In addition, will there be merit raises as well?
There is merit raises in the budget based on performance. And back to what Mr. Cole and Mr. Wilson are talking about, we do feel as though we need to take a look at the entire package, pension, benefits, salary. That will take a number of months. We would probably be back here this time next year discussing that. So putting off the 2% is not our recommendation.
Well, I don't mean to put it... Well, okay. I didn't mean any long term. I was just trying to get over this hump here to deal with the budget, get it approved, have the 2% there for the employees. And again, the concerns I just heard from the audience about bonus versus this versus that, I'm not, again, that familiar with the impacts and how that works.
Oh, you mean the tax, income tax?
Well, all the things. I mean, there's a number of things that impact why, if we did it this way, we could, you know, be going the wrong direction. So anyway, that's just my concern at this point. I'm not comfortable with that.
No, area. I think Mr. Phillips has a motion. Well, and we'll deal with that, and then we'll...
Could I ask Mr. Lawson, do you have the worksheet showing the breakdown of that those 60 top earners with respect to their taxes and how that's going to put them at a lower take home than the bottom folks?
We have that. I don't have it at my fingertips. I don't know if Gina has it at her fingertips. We do have that document.
I'll certainly be willing to possibly withdraw my motion at this time.
You want to pass it on?
Sure. Pass it right down here to Mr. Phillips. Mm-hmm.
You got 30 seconds to review.
I hadn't thought about that, but I guess it certainly makes sense if you're in a higher income tax bracket. They're going to take more tax out, so you're going to get less money. I mean, that's...
That's the effect of it. So you take the flat line bonus, in theory, and then applied the taxes to it based on the bracket that you're in, and you create a line like this.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
So the higher earners take home less.
I think that one of these mid-level employees had a discussion similar to that. He was concerned about that happening.
Yes, but the COLA wouldn't have done that.
Right. Mrs. Jennings.
And just one thing to add to Mr. Lawson's comments. We had an employee workshop, and they were bringing up the same things that Mr. Cole is saying. And it made me think, they're saying that their paychecks have gone down. It reminded me, January, we all saw a 2% decrease in our taxes. Our taxes have gone up
2%.
Right. So the higher earners saw an increase or decrease higher than the lower.
Sure.
So that's why we're continuing recommending the 2% because the way the tax tables have been implemented, the federal tax table and payroll.
You can see why I'm confused.
I understand.
Well, I mean, I still don't see what I thought I heard. I mean, you got an employee here that's making $22,331, if I'm reading this right. Their bonus is going to equal $322 after taxes. That's on a 2% bonus. Take our fourth highest earner down is $90,000. Their actual bonus after taxes is going to be $1,091. I don't know how you can say that $1,091 is lower than 322. What did I miss?
My example was if we took the 2% bonus amount, divided it by the amount of employees, and every employee got the same amount of money. That's what we heard in May, that take the 2%, divide by everyone, and everyone gets the exact same amount. Okay. It was roughly 800.
I'm going to find that for him, Mrs. Jennings.
Maybe I missed it. No, maybe here.
Let Mrs. Jennings, that's her document, obviously. I couldn't be much help to you, but sure she can. I'm showing you what she's discussing.
It's hard to find my office black and white.
Better what?
Here, call Susan.
Call Susan.
I have it from my.
She's trying to disguise herself with this hair. New hair.
Hair will cut short.
But thank you for coming, Mrs. Webb.
No.
She was on the budget committee.
I mean,
you want to record?
If an argument's going to be made to do something based on what Mr. Lawson put on the table, I think the council deserves to have some numbers to look at.
Susan Webb.
Yes, ma'am, please.
I think you have to figure out why are you giving employees raises.
Right.
If you're giving them to adjust their salary for cost of living, then you need to give them a cost of living adjustment.
Right.
A bonus is, here's a Christmas bonus. Here's a bonus you did a good job on a project. Here's a bonus because we're generous. A merit raise is because their director put in a evaluation and they've had a shining review all year, and so the director says, okay, you deserve a 5% merit raise because you're an outstanding employee. You come to work every day, and that's more relegated to the directors who work exactly right with the employees versus the council. I think the council's responsibility is to say, okay, we can afford it in the budget. You know, it's been tight. The employees' expenses have gone up. I think we need to do a 2% COLA because we want to give them a cost of living adjustment that goes to their salaries. It lifts the bases up of all the salaries in the county go up 2%, so that when someone's hired in October, they're not behind the eight ball and the salaries all shift up in the boat, and that everybody, you don't get in this mismatched salary position, which we have been in for a while because of different reasons. So that's why the salary thing is good. But, they have value. It goes to their pension. It goes to their Social Security, just like Mr. Kramer said.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a COLA does. So if you want to give them something that increases their cost of living because the expenses, and that's that. If you want to give them a bonus because it's Christmas or whatever, then that's that. And then the merit, of course, is for a good job, well done.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how the budget committee feels, and that's how we felt when we worked on the budget in the beginning, was the COLA attached to the salary.
So you're trying to say the COLA is more beneficial to the employee?
Yes.
In the long, whether you're making a top or low, it beneficial to all employees across the board,
yes,
equally. Okay.
Because it attaches to their salary,
it
helps with
things.
Their pension, it helps with their FICA, Social Security.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Are you trying to also say that the COLA pays lesser income tax in bonus money?
I don't know.
Sound
why
like to me,
we're
you're
mixing
saying
it with
keep
income
more money.
Taxes because that's a very personal situation. We don't know. I could make $100,000 in investment income and have a low salary. Their spouse could make a lot of money. Income tax, I don't know why we're mixing it with that, but it does affect,
It's just, it's more beneficial.
It's still all the bottom line,
yeah.
Really.
Mr. President.
Yes, sir.
We did close the record.
Yes, we did.
However, because at that time we had anticipated it's more just discussion of council, and although there can be discussions with staff, just to be extra cautious, if I want to have more discussions with Ms. Webb, I would just recommend reopening the record and asking that her comments be included in that record.
She was on the team.
No.
I'll make that motion that we reopen the record.
Second.
For comments from...
To be allowed as part of the record.
As part of the record.
Yes. Right. Okay. Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on that motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes.
Thank you.
Anything else, Mrs. Webb?
Well, that was maybe it helps sort out the different types of increases you can, and experience given employees for different, what's your motive, if you're giving them something to help with their expenses, and it's a COLA.
So if I make...
Well, the bonus would help on the expenses too, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could do it different ways, but... Mm-hmm.
I also think she asked a prior question. What is our motive?
Yep. Right.
Can you guarantee us what our income is going to be to this council next year? What our transfer tax is going to be?
Absolutely
we know,
not.
At this time, Sue, we know we got this much money, and we know we can do that. Next year, we don't know that.
Right.
There's no guarantee. With this president, anything could happen.
And Mr. So, Wilson's point is to basically institutionalize that $400,000 that this raise is going to cost is very dangerous because we don't know if we're going to have that money next year.
We don't have enough money. Are you kidding me?
We did balance the budget on the 2% in the beginning.
Right.
But, you know, that's just the budget committee.
Well, we do it every year, right? If we don't, I mean, if we make adjustments as we do this year to year, it's not, anything we do this year really isn't good. If we did a COLA bonus, whatever, it doesn't tie us to next year.
Yes,
right?
We do. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
COLA does
because you've increased the salary by 2%,
okay,
so
right,
you're paying 2% more.
Oh, okay, yeah, right.
It increases your pension. I mean, there's an opposite. It increases your pension contribution.
Okay, I understand. I'm sorry.
You're right. Increases what you pay wages next year, but if you want to be competitive, you know, the salaries have to come up with the boat. I think Todd used that example before. If you want to be competitive when you hire, rather than have this, okay, I can't hire him because at his salary because I have five people making less. That's what we run into before. And it causes, a lot of problems in the department.
But with anything else, Mrs. Webb?
If I understand, then, with the bonus, you don't, I make $20,000 this year, I get a bonus, I still make $20,000 at the end
yes.
of the year.
Sure.
So I'm nowhere really as far as increased salary.
I wouldn't say that, Joan. How can you get
$800? You get $500 more in cash.
How can you get $800 and say you never got nothing?
Salary.
Salary.
Because,
but what
if we can talk, if we can talk one at a time, Mr. Wilson, you have the floor.
If you get $800 at the end of the year, whether you can call it bonus, you can call it what you want.
What's
it's
important?
Still money.
Yes, and your W-2 will reflect that. You got
$20,800.
Yep.
How does that?
Mrs. Deal.
Well, you got the $800.
So how's that classified then?
You just get a check for $800, and then that's it.
But I thought I heard that it's treated differently tax-wise.
No. It's income. Income's income.
It's all salary.
Oh, yeah, it's all income,
uh-huh.
But it doesn't add to their... Then they don't start the next year making $20,800.
And the point that I was trying to make was you wind up with the same salary next year that you have this year.
You have the same base salary.
Same
that's
base.
A fair statement.
Unless you
yeah.
got a merit raise. And see, no,
yes.
Mr. President, from my perspective, that is how employees should advance through the merit system. You know, just this across the board, just because you showed up to work, you get a 2 or 3% cost of living increase. To me, just is not the way to go anymore. It's not what's being done in the private sector, and it shouldn't be done in government. It's a reason why we've got bureaucrats in Dover and D.C. making $150,000 a year, because they've got caught up in that tidal wave over the years of increased salaries because of cost of living and merit. But merit is the way your salary should increase, in my opinion. And they do. We give a lot of merit increases.
Merit, a lot of, there's
a
lot of merit.
A lot of merit increases.
Mm-hmm. And they attach to the salaries, just like you said.
Right. And I think I finally got Mr. Lawson's point. His point is because the higher wage employees are paying a higher percentage of taxes, their $800 may only compute to $550,
right.
Whereas a lower income employee may compute to $650.
Takes a smaller amount of taxes.
But to me, they're the ones who need it. They're the ones that down at the bottom of the totem pole that need it. So to argue that we shouldn't do it across the board because the higher wage earners are going to have to pay a little bit more in taxes is just not fair.
We've also done, not to throw something else in there, but
excuse
you probably
me?
Remember, we've also done it with a minimum, you know.
True.
Correct.
Sure.
Which you set where you think everybody should receive or what you feel is a good number, and then that is the minimum. And
maybe we could do a minimum and maximum. No less than 500, no more than 1,000.
Well, this has been a good discussion. That's why I say if we maybe set it, have the 2% in that budget, and then and we can have a workshop and we can talk that back to where Bloom and, you know, I'm getting more confused as I go on and on which still is the best way to go. So the recommendation is a bonus or a COLA or what?
Bonus.
Bonus.
2%
bonus. 2% recommendation from the committee.
Right. Again, I could easily sit there and say, let's put the 2%, make sure it's in that budget, make sure it's going to be for the employees. And then in the next, you know, couple weeks or whatever, you know, next 30 days, we could figure it out, and that's not going to be the end of the world. So I'd, I don't know if it's cleared a whole lot up. I'm glad Susie came up, and I mean,
thank you, ma'am.
Some of these impacts are different. So I just, still a thought out there. So I don't know where the rest of you would like to go. I just hate to shoot from the hip.
We will. Any questions? We'll close the record again. Close comments again. Are you done, Susie?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I guess the only thing I want to say is we wouldn't be shooting from the hip, and there have been hours and hours of work on this, and we have an excellent financial team. And, says giving, I really do have faith in their report.
Haven't heard that. Is there a motion, anybody?
I have a question.
Mr. Phillips.
How many employees are we talking about with respect to this 2%?
492.
Yeah. 492. Mm-hmm. And how many dollars are we talking?
About 413,000.
About?
413,463.
842, $840.37. I'd like to move that we provide a one-time bonus to the employees of $840.37 in lieu of the 2% raise.
Have a motion, Mr. Phillips. Do we have a second?
And this would be moving to amend the
ordinance. I guess amend the budget. Yeah.
Yes.
Would be my interpretation of it. Yes. And Mr. Wilson, you second that motion?
Yes, sir.
We have a motion and a second to amend the proposed budget by, in lieu of a 2% across the board, to give everyone the same, which would be $840.37. If I read that thing right. Any questions on that motion, Mrs. Deaver?
I have questions of Mr. Lawson. And that was not your recommendation, and your recommendation again was for the 2% bonus according to amount of salary per employee.
The budget committee's recommendation, yes.
It was the budget committee's recommendation, and you have how many people are in that budget committee? You have
Had four this year because of Mrs. Webb's retirement.
Okay. All right.
Any more questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
They're not our children, they're employees. They are paid according to what they're paid according to their performance. And they should, if they're going to get a bonus, then it should be according to their pay. I really have made it clear too that I also prefer the COLA. And so, you know, I'm giving in, I think, on what I believe by just saying that the 2% bonus would be acceptable. I far, would prefer the COLA, but I'm willing to negotiate, but not the same amount every. It's an insult, I think, and this is not Christmas, and they're not children. No.
Your vote. Okay. Your vote's a no, Mr. Cole.
Well, after we had a gathering this morning, and I was inspired by the gentleman's talk about leadership and everything else, so. With that in mind, I'm going to abstain because I'm still confused. I still think there's a number of ways to do this, and I'd rather sit back and let us all get together instead of coming into something like this at this point. And there's not enough, I don't think, unity of thought here, and I'm just concerned. So I'll abstain.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I also agree that I think this is something that needs a lot of study. I think the whole thing needs study and not going to be something we can't do in a week or two. These people, a lot of effort in this, our committee. I think they did a good job. their recommendation, the people we hired to put these jobs in, I'm going to vote no. Motion defeated. Any more motions? Okay. We're not going to approve the budget, so go to the...
Can I make a motion and say good job? Thank you very much for all your work and your effort to the team. I'd like to say that. That's all.
Oh, I didn't take a motion.
Well, I know, but I would make...
I was looking for a motion to approve the budget. So moved. Have a motion, Mr. Phillips.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver, to approve the budget as presented.
Okay, and I'll read that short title. Please again. An ordinance establishing the annual operating budget for fiscal year 2014.
Now, have a motion, Mr. Phillips.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Second. Mrs. Deaver, mm-hmm. to approve the budget as presented.
As is.
Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Now I'll say good job. Yes, yes.
Mr. Cole.
Vote yes. And again, the I think it's a great budget. I think everything really fell together nicely. We've still been able to continue with our low taxes here in Sussex County. And other than the that one issue we just got done with, I mean, I think everything went real smooth, and I'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips.
I'll vote yes, and I do want to address this one issue about the real estate transfer tax and our quote-unquote dependency upon it. I heard that over and over back in the early part of this century, 2004, 2005, when some years we were getting as much as $30-35 million from real estate transfer taxes. And people said, oh, my Lord, if that bubble ever burst, your taxes are going to have to be raised sky high. Well, it burst, and it went all the way down to around 13,000.
Million,
excuse me. And we tightened our belts. There's a lot of ways government can save money if they have to. And I think that would happen again if even we had, you know, a $10 million real estate transfer tax year. I don't foresee it. I think we've gone around the corner on this slump for now. But it's a good budget, conservative as always. And I want to thank the budget committee. You've done a good job.
Mr. Wilson.
I'm in favor of the budget, and I think they did a good job. I hear one statement all the time, maybe more than one, but this one particularly, is how much money this county has. And the main emphasis, they seem to think, that we should spend it and get rid of it so we can be like the rest of the governments, be in debt, then go borrow money. But unfortunately, these poor people don't know that we have people that retire from here, and they're expecting their pension check and retirement check and benefits after they leave here and while they are here. And if we spend all that money, where do they think they're going to get it from? How are we going to pay those bills? There's such a thing as a rainy day, and we have to put away for rainy days. For those that don't believe in saving rainy days and has nothing, don't understand what we're doing here. But that's what we're really doing, is we're saving some money for those who are working here now and are wanting to leave, and we'll retire from here, and we'll expect retirement benefits. That's my comment.
Thank you, sir. I also want to thank the Budget Committee, Mr. Lawson, Mrs. Webb, for all your hard work over the years, and Mrs. Jennings and Mrs. Roth, I'm sure, is here somewhere. I can't find her, but okay. But the four of them, I think, did a great job putting the budget together. It was a conservative budget, as it should be. And I'm sure we will visit this next year. We will visit the whole idea of compensation packages, not just a salary, but the whole thing, and review that. And next year's budget will probably be some reflection of that in there, I would assume. So having said that, I vote yes, motion carried, and thank you all very, very much for all the work you did.
Next.
Mr. Lawson, was that a...
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. President, the next we have a public hearing on the assessment rolls, and Gina Jennings is going to give a presentation in regards to that.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. The assessment rolls reflect the county's billing records for equivalent dwelling units, EDUs, and billable front footage for each sewer and water district account. These records have been made available in public inspection in the billing office for review, and they are subject to individual appeal via the Assessment Review Board. Thank you.
Okay, at this point, does council have any questions? If not, if anyone would like to speak on this matter, you can please come forward. Is there anyone like to speak on this? Seeing none, Ms. Jennings, do you have that we can close the public hearing on this
close
matter?
Close public hearing, close public comment. That's okay with council.
Well, I could. There's just one last thing I'd like to say. That we are moving towards unit pricing, yes. Because I think, again, and I'd also think we've had discussions about, you know, creating the county as a sewer district so that we can take control of some of these
yes.
things. So with that in mind, but I think we have moved towards unit pricing. It's slow, and I didn't expect it to happen overnight. But I think that's the fairest and the best way to go for this thing. So anyway, that's all I got to say.
Okay. I would like to say something.
Mrs. Deaver.
If I may. A lot of the rates have gone down, and I'm so happy about that. And a lot of people are congratulating us for that. And I think that under Mrs. Webb, I think we refinanced a lot of, what do you call, the bonds or the loans, and we saved millions of dollars. And our people benefited from that. And I think it's, I just want to make a point of, it's a big point.
Sure. Anything else?
She has a motion.
Yeah, the motion is to approve the assessment rules for the sewer and water districts.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
I'll vote yes with the comment about the rates going down. I think that is something, if there is a story today, that should be very high on the list. The fact that we are able to reduce so many of the sewer rates in the various districts because of paying down the debt, being conservative in our budgeting over the years. So, again, that's a big congratulations to the four on the budget committee. Thank you.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes. Also, I'm sorry to let Vance start talking about taxes going down. It fascinates me. We brag on one hand, we want to lower taxes. On the other hand, let's raise taxes. I almost can't even get direction if some of this council wants to go. So that's my comment.
Also, I would agree with Councilman Phillips's comments, and it certainly is a great thing that we financially over the years that was managed properly and the money was there to pay off those bonds and lower the user's monthly bills or quarterly bills, and that's all good for the user. That's what we're supposed to be doing, is serving the public. And I think in that case, we've done a great job in doing that. So I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you.
And lastly, we have an ordinance establishing annual sewer charges, annual assessment rates for collection and transmission and or treatment and connection charges for all Sussex County water and sewer districts. We're now opening the public hearing on that matter, and Ms. Jennings will make a presentation on that.
I'd just like to go over a few highlights of the sewer and water budget. As Mr. Cole said, we are still working towards a uniform service charge. We have a decrease in the assessments due to the bond refinancing and debt payoffs. It works out to be 69% of our customers are seeing decreases this year. That's 39,000 of 57,000 customers. Mm-hmm. 1.5% increase in EDUs with a 4% decrease in the 2014 operating budget. There is a 16% decrease in sewer capital projects due to the decrease in the amount of work from the stimulus funds. There's a 2.273% increase for inflation in the system connection charges. And we move to continue to the 100-foot cap, but it will no longer be funded through the general fund.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And is there any questions from council? If not, is there anyone from the public that would like to address this issue? Is there anyone from the public that would like to address this issue? Seeing none, Mr. President. And if there's no other comments, so we can close the public hearing on this matter.
Close the public hearing and close the public comments.
Yes.
That's okay with council. And Mr. Moore, if you'd read the short title.
Yes, an ordinance establishing annual sewer charges, annual assessment rates for collection and transmission and or treatment and connection charges for all Sussex County water and sewer districts.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second.
Second.
Mr. Phillips, any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I'm a yes, motion carried. Hal Godwin, Let's save update.